Chapter 45. "Taxi cab, sir?" the Waldorf Astoria's doorman asked of a hotel guest stepping out in a top hat and loden green frock coat. "I will promenade," said Eyes O'Shea. Wielding a jewel-headed walking stick, he strolled up Fifth Avenue, pausing like a tourist to admire mansions and peering into shop windows. When he was reasonably sure that he wasn't being followed, he entered St. Patrick's Cathedral through the great Gothic arch in front. In the nave, he genuflected with the ease of a daily habit, dropped coins in the poor box, and lighted candles. Then he threw back his head and reflected upon the stained glass in the rose window, imitating the proud gaze of a parishioner who had contributed handsomely to the installation fund. Since Isaac Bell nailed Tommy Thompson, he had to assume that every Van Dorn in New York, plus 200 railway police, and the devil himself knew how many paid informants were hunting him, or soon would be. He exited the cathedral out the back, through the boardwalks and scaffolding where brick and stonemasons were building the Lady Chapel, and strode on to Madison Avenue. He headed up Madison, still watching his back, turned on to 55th and stopped in the St. Regis Hotel. He had a drink in the bar and chatted with the bartender, whom he always tipped lavishly, while he watched the lobby. Then he tipped a bellboy to let him out the service entrance. Moments later, he walked into the Plaza Hotel. He stopped at the Palm Court in the middle of the ground floor. The people seated around small tables for the elaborate afternoon tea were mothers with children, aunts and nieces, and here and there an older gentleman enthralled by a daughter. The maitre d' bowed low. "Your usual table, Herr Riker?" "Thank you." Herr Riker's usual table let him watch the lobby in two directions while screening himself with a jungle of potted palms that would have given Dr. Livingston and Henry Stanley pause. "Will your ward be joining you, sir?" "It is my fond hope," he replied with a courtly smile. "Tell your waiter that we will have only sweets at our table. None of those little sandwiches. Only cakes and cream." "Of course, Herr Riker. As always, Herr Riker." Catherine was late, as usual, and he used the time to rehearse for what he knew would be a difficult discussion. He felt as ready as he could be when she stepped off the elevator. Her tea gown was a cloud of blue silk that matched her eyes and complemented her hair. O'Shea rose as she approached his table, taking her gloved hands in his and saying, "You are the prettiest girl, Miss D."
"Thank you, Herr Riker."
Catherine D smiled and dimpled, but when she sat, she looked him full in the face in her direct way and said, "You look very serious. Ward and guardian serious. What are you up to, Brian?"
"Self-anointed good warriors who fight good wars accuse me with deep disdain of being a mercenary. I take it as a testament to my intelligence. Because for a mercenary, the war is over when he says it is over. He retires a victor."
"I hope you've ordered whiskey instead of tea," she said.
O'Shea smiled.
"Yes, I know I'm bloviating. I am attempting to tell you that we are in the end game, dearest."
"What do you mean?"
"It is time to vanish. We will go out and lay our future with a bang they'll never forget."
"Where?"
"Where they will treat us like gold."
"Oh, not Germany."
"Of course, Germany. What democracy would take us in?"
"We could go to Russia."
"Russia is a powder keg waiting for a match. I am not about to take you out of the frying pan into a revolution."
"Oh, Brian, we will live like kings and queens. We will be very rich, and we will marry you to royalty."
"What is it?
Why are you crying?"
"I'm not crying," she said, her blue eyes brimming.
"What is the matter?"
"I don't want to marry a prince."
"Would you settle for a Prussian noble with a 1,000-year-old castle?"
"Stop it."
"I have one in mind. He is handsome,
remarkably bright, considering his lineage, and surprisingly gentle. His mother could prove tiresome, but there is a stable teeming with Arabian horses and a lovely summer place on the Baltic where a girl could sail to her heart's content. Even practice for the Olympic yachting event. Why are you crying?
Catherine D. put both small hands on the table and spoke in a clear, even voice.
I want to marry you.
Dear, dear Catherine.
That would be like marrying your own brother.
I don't care. Besides, you're not my brother. You only act like one.
I am your guardian, he said. I have pledged that no one will ever hurt you.
What do you think you're doing now?
Stop this silliness about marrying me. You know I love you. But not that way.
Tears hovered on her lashes like diamonds. He passed her a handkerchief.
Dry your eyes. We have work to do.
She dabbed, lifting her tears onto the linen.
I thought we were leaving.
Leaving with a bang requires work.
What am I supposed to do?
She asked sullenly.
I can't let Isaac Bell get in my way this time.
Why don't I kill him?
O'Shea nodded thoughtfully. Catherine was lethal, a finely tuned machine unencumbered by remorse or regret. But every machine had its physical limits.
You would only get hurt. Bell is too much like me, a man not easily killed. No, I won't have you risk trying to kill him. But I do want him distracted.
Do you want me to seduce him? Asked Catherine.
She flinched from the sudden fury distorting O'Shea's face.
Have I ever asked you to do such a thing?
No.
Would I ever ask you?
No.
It destroys me that you could say such a thing.
I am sorry, Brian. I didn't think.
She reached for his hand. He pulled away, his normally bland face red, his lips compressed in a hard line, his eyes wintry.
Brian, I am not exactly a schoolgirl.
Whatever seductions you allow yourself are your business, he said coldly. I have ensured that you possess the means and manner to indulge yourself as only privileged women can. Society will never tell you what you can do and not do. But I want it clearly understood that I would never use you that way.
What way? As a seductress? Or an indulgence?
Young lady, you are beginning to annoy me.
Catherine D. ignored the very dangerous tone in his voice because she knew he was too careful to break up the furniture in the palm court.
Stop calling me that. You're only 10 years older than I am.
12. And mine are old years, while I have moved heaven and earth to make yours young years.
Waiters bustled up. Ward and guardian sat in stony silence until the cakes were spread and tea poured.
How do you want me to distract him?
When he started talking that way, there was nothing to do but go along.
The fiancée is the key. She is suspicious of me.
How do you mean? O'Shea asked sharply.
At the Michigan launching, when I tried to get close, she pulled back. She senses something in me that frightens her.
Perhaps she is psychical, said O'Shea, and reads your mind.
An expression as desolate as it was wise transformed Catherine D.'s pretty face into a lifeless mask of ancient marble.
She reads my heart.